This is part B of From There to Here, number 4. Now, I think as you analyze, as I've said before, the system that God has, he has it in 7-year cycles of 7, which is 49 plus 1 is 50, and you have the Jubilee. And if you go back and you analyze the curve of the ups and downs of the monetary cycles, we'll just take the ones that we know here recently. We had 1994-95 to 2000, which then is a 6-year plus period, we had a downturn. Then they infused a lot of money into it and brought it back up in 2000. And in 2007, we had a downturn, didn't we? Okay. The reason that God has it in 7 years and with debt release in the 7th year, the smaller debts were forgiven in the 7th year, which means that those who lend out money, knowing when the 7th year cycle would come, would not make large loans. Number one. Now, very, very late change in it was that all debts had to be forgiven, or before the very, very late change, all debts were forgiven in the 7th year. In the days of Hillel, which was in the days of Christ, then you have this. They actually went to the Roman system where they allowed debts to extend beyond the 7 years and to be collected. All right. In that cycle, you have a 50-year cycle too, don't you? The Jubilee. I saw a very interesting program on Bloomberg yesterday which showed the comparison between 1928... Okay, and 50 years later, 2008. Exactly the same forces were set in motion. So let's look at some of these things here, you see. And what happens when you have a system the way that God has it, you deal with real money. You do not allow overextension of debt. And you see, having debt forgiveness disciplines the lender so he does not enslave the borrower. Guess what system is going to be used in the kingdom of God? All right. Back to today. The size and scope, or the size and scale of the approaching recession is impossible to forecast. The real estate and stock markets will undoubtedly see trillions of dollars in losses. What about the estimated $300 trillion of derivatives? Now, derivatives are bets. That's what they are. You bet the economy or the price of something is either going to go up or it's going to go down. And as I pointed out in the book, The Late Great USA UK, there are 300 and some odd trillion dollars in derivatives hanging out there, of which Citibank, remember it almost went bankrupt? Has 56 trillion with a T in derivatives. That's like saying, at the casino table in Las Vegas, you have $56 trillion on the table, the roulette table, betting that the little marble will drop in the right place. Let's go on here. Credit default swaps and other obtrusive counterpart options. Will the global economy freeze up when the ocean of cyber capital suddenly evaporates. Now, cyber capital is what? Money registered within a computer. And the only ones who can legally increase it are the central banks. You try that. You try going to your online bank account and increase it by $100 million. The bank inspectors and the FBI and the local police will be at your door. See, but they can do it. Will that virtual wealth simply vanish into the ether when the underlying assets are downgraded to pennies on the dollar, or when the number of home foreclosures catapults into the millions, or when the dollar slips to a fraction of its current value? No one knows. But Atlanta Federal Reserve President Dennis Lockhart summarized what we can expect in a speech he gave last week entitled The Economy of 2008. He said, "A sober assessment of risk must take into account of the possibility of protracted financial market instabilities together with weakening housing prices, volatile and high energy prices, continuing dollar depreciation, and elevated inflation." What did he just describe? Stagflation. Prices going up, wages going down, employment going down, or if we're lucky, holding steady. Now, let's look at some other reasons here in the book of Hosea why these things are going to come. Remember, we left off, if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And I think that best really describes what's happening with the financial system around the world. Now, let's come to Hosea. Hosea 9. And verse 11. And when it talks about Ephraim, that also includes Israel. But remember, as I said, the economy in England is worse than ours. Their national debt, percentage-wise, is twice as high as ours. See, and how many times have I covered recently that if we followed God's way, we would lend to other nations and not borrow. But if we didn't, we would borrow from them, and between the UK and the USA, we are borrowing more money from our enemies. And how is the financial system being rescued now? They're called sovereign wealth funds, which is a nice way of saying, as I described over a year ago, what is China going to do with these trillions of dollars, US dollars? They're going to set up an investment banking company. That's a sovereign wealth thing. And so do the Arabs. Guess who bought into Citibank? Abu Dhabi. Other Arabs are using their sovereign funds to come in and buy what is called equity or assets. The difference being this. If you buy a note, say Harry Curley gave me a note for $10,000, and I needed that $10,000 for whatever reason, and I go to Harry and say, "Harry, can you pay me back?" He says, "No, I can't pay you back." So I go to someone else who has $10,000, and I say, "Look, I've got this note for $10,000. I need some money for it, and I need the money right away. What will you give me for it?" He says, "Well, I'll give you 80% of its value. So I'll give you $8,000 for the $10,000 note." So he now is holding a note which is to him an asset. But instead of just earning the 10% interest from Harry, he's now going to earn the 10% interest plus $2,000. That is, if Harry pays it back. So he has a nice profit. So that is what you're dealing in equities, which are real ownership, versus dealing in credits, which are counted as assets, but those assets can depreciate and fall apart at any time. Hosea 9 and verse 11. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. From the birth, and from the womb, and from the conception. Now that describes the whole thing concerning the UK today. Only 1 in 5 pregnancies come to full term because of abortion. Remember I've said how many times abortion is at the heart and core of it? Yes, we'll look at that in just a minute here because it is. See. Though they bring up their children, yet I will bereave them, that there shall not be a man left, yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. So there are two things that happen. People can depart from God, but God hasn't quite left them yet. Then when catastrophe happens, that is when God then leaves them. So this is what he's describing here. Let's come down to chapter 10 and verse 1. Israel is an empty vine. He brings forth fruit unto himself. Self-centered, narcissistic, using everything on the self. According to the multitude of the fruit, he has increased the altars according to the goodness of his land, and he has made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. And he shall break down their altars, and he shall spoil their images. So that's what God is going to do. Now, come over here to verse 13. You have plowed wickedness, you shall reap iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because you did trust in your way in the multitude of your mighty men. Well, trusting in lies, that's describing the whole economic system. And the whole moral system. Or shall I say immoral system. Okay, let's come to chapter 11 and verse 8. Through all of this, because of God's love for Israel and Ephraim, he's torn up inside. Just put in your margin there, Ezekiel 33, where God says to the wicked, O wicked, turn, why don't you turn from your wickedness? For I do not delight in the death of the wicked. So God wants repentance. So here, with Ephraim and with Israel, he's torn. Verse 7. My people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called to the Most High. Not at all would exalt him. How shall I give you up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver you, Israel? How will I make you as Admah? How shall I set you as Zeboim? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. So God is in a conflict with this. But because he's righteous, he must judge. And he must judge evil. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in the midst of you, and I will not enter into the city. So that's quite a thing. Okay, chapter 12 and verse 1. Ephraim feeds on the wind. Isn't it interesting? You sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind, you feed on the wind. Now let's do this. Everybody take a deep breath. How full are you? See, breathing does not give nutrition. If it did, we'd all be like blimps. Okay. He follows after the east wind. Where is the money coming from to rescue us from the Middle East? And from the Far East? Now, just as another aside, if we go into a real depression, China is going to go down too. And they are going to have a lot of political unrest. So no one wants that to happen, so they're all going to come with their money that they have earned from us, and they have taken our debt, and they're going to bring it back to buy assets. They're going to buy banks. They're going to buy real estate, commercial real estate, because commercial real estate is going to go into the tank too. And they are going to literally, through economies, take over America and Britain. Now let's come down here to verse 2. The Lord has also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings, he shall recompense him. All right, let's come to chapter 13, verse 1. When Ephraim spoke trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, but when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more. See, rather than all this thing, how many sermons are you going to hear or watch on television where the prophets of Baal stand up and say, now we're heading for an economic crisis. What I want you to do is all repent. We all have to repent. Repent of your lying, your cheating, your stealing, your adultery. Repent of worshiping on the wrong day, and we'll see you here next Saturday instead of Sunday. See? Let's get rid of all of our idols. Let's stop all abortion. Let's get after all of the drug dealers. You won't hear that. Verse 2, now they sin more and more, and they have made them molten images of their altar and idols according to their own understanding. And you can put in there all the idols of TV and movies and all of this sort of thing, because that's all idolatry as well. All of it, the work of the craftsmen, and they say to them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. It'll be all right if we continue doing it this way. Verse 3, therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passes away, as the chaff that is driven by the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of a chimney. So God shows they're going to reap what they sow. Okay, chapter 14 and verse 1. O Israel, this is the call, and we can do this with the church. O Israel, return unto the Lord your God, for you have fallen by your iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, and say to him, take away all our iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. In other words, in a mocking way, instead of worshiping the golden calves, which they had in Dan and Beersheba, they are now going to change that to worshiping God with their lips the way that they should. Now let's look at some other things concerning the economic situation. Then we'll finish up with how to protect yourself as much as you can. How many here have heard of the plunge control team or the plunge protection team? What is that? We'll get into it here in just a minute. Bears beware. This is from Ambrose Evans Pritchard, International Business Editor. Bears beware, the New Deal of 2008 is in the works. The U.S. Treasury is about to shower households with rebate checks to head off a full-blown slump and save the Bush presidency. On Friday, Mr. Bush convened the so-called Plunge Protection Team for its first known meeting in the Oval Office. The Black Arts Unit, officially the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, was created after the 1987 crash. It appears to have powers to support the markets in a crisis with a host of instruments, mostly through buying future contracts on stock indexes and key credit leverage levers. It has the means to fry short traders in the hottest of oils. In other words, short trader is this. He sees that the stock is going down. He says, okay, I'm going to bid on it short. It's at $10 now. I will buy it at $5. So if it gets to $5, he buys it at $5. If it doesn't get to $5, then he's got to pay, say, the difference between 5 and 7. So here comes this plunge protection team, and here's the stock going down or something going down, and everybody's betting short. It's also called the put. And the plunge protection team comes in and starts buying at a higher price, and then all of the shorts come due on a certain date, and they have to pay up, so that means that they're fried in the hottest oil possible. See? So instead of making money, now they've got to pay and buy it, instead of at $5, at $7 or at $8. The team is led by Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson and ex-Goldman Sachs, a man with a nose for market psychology, and includes Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke and other key exchange regulators. Now, when they get involved, which they are, and I might just say as an aside, why did gold stay down so low for so long? Because the plunge protection team through the banks were buying and selling gold to each other at lower prices. And there's every reason to suspect that gold may go as high within a year and a half to $2,500 per ounce. All right, continuing here. Judging by a well-briefed report in the Washington Post, a mood of deep alarm has taken hold in the upper echelons of the administration. What everyone is looking at is what is the fastest way to get money out there. Now, why do they need to get money out there? Okay, there's a dirty little secret. I'll tell you about it. Okay? The plunge protection team, long kept secret, was last mobilized to calm the markets after 9/11. It then went into hibernation during the long boom, though they were still manipulating certain markets to make sure that the boom continued. Mr. Paulson reactivated it last year, asking the staff to examine systemic risk poised by hedge funds and derivatives, and the government's ability to respond to a financial crisis. Now, so much for the control, plunge control team. The Coming Collapse of Modern-Day Banking System, and this is by Mike Whitney, and it says, staring into the abyss. Just like I said, you were out there 12 feet over the edge of the Grand Canyon looking straight down. So here are some of the things and how it has happened. I'll summarize it. The banks are required to have a certain amount in reserve in cash and in A credit securities, which they can use as collateral to loan to people on what is called the marginal banking system, which is this. You have a bank with so much money in the bank. They know that on the average, only 12% of that money moves out of the bank, which means they have 88%, and they have lowered that down in some cases to as much as only 5%, which means they can loan money based upon that percentage. Now, when they loan the money and give it out, then a lot of that money comes back into the bank again, so that again becomes an asset. If I loan Habib $100,000 and he says, well, I would like to open up an account with this $100,000. So now you've got that $100,000 as an asset, which you can now loan 88% of that in addition to the 88% of what you had before. So this is a multiplying factor. The next time you go into your bank and you look at the assets, look at how many of them say U.S. securities. See, they loan on those. But those are IOUs from the U.S. government. Now, here's what they have done in the housing crunch and other loanable assets. They would do this. They would take a loan, which they would have to, if they loaned it out, they would have to deduct that money from their cash reserves. But if they take that loan and do what I just described here, under what is called securitized, that means they put it through a series of tests and they declare this a secure loan. This means that they can bundle that loan with other loans that they securitize, and they can put them back in as assets and loan against it, as long as that holds its value. Or they can bundle them and sell them to other banks around the world, which is what they have done in this mortgage crisis, with the adjustable rate loans to people who just declared what their income was, and if their credit score reflected a good repayment plan, they didn't even verify what they put on the application to borrow. Now you have got millions of these loans that they have sold to different banking systems in the world, amounting to trillions of dollars worth of money. And this is why there is now a cash shortage. Because they used to be able to count these the same as cash, but now since they have been downgraded, you can no longer count them as securitized equal cash paper. For example, we'll take the $100,000 cash reserve. The open market today says, we will buy that from you for $27,000. Which means what? Their cash reserve position went down by $83,000. And they're supposed to have a certain percentage of cash reserve. Many of the banks are coming down to a zero cash reserve, which means the banks will become bankrupt. So the Fed, European Central Bank, and the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, have put something like a $500 trillion in cash available to banks, borrowable cash. So what the banks have done, they take these formerly securitized debts, which are now worth $27,000. They take them to the secret Fed lending window, and the Fed lends them 85% of the face value of those formerly securitized debts. So it's all a Ponzi game and like a shell game. Guess under which cell the security is. Whoop, it's not there. Whoop, it's not there. So that's why it is ready to collapse. Now, they came up with a plan. Well, we will have all the banks freeze the lending rate at a certain point. But the problem is you have to give the banks the cash in place of the adjustment, and they are only going to give enough cash which will cover 140,000 mortgage holders, when there are millions. On Wednesday, I'm going to read this here. On Wednesday, the Federal Reserve initiated a coordinated effort with the Bank of Canada, the Bank of England, European Central Bank, and the Swiss National Bank to address the elevated pressures in short-term fundings on the markets. In other words, short-term funding is this. In order for the banks to remain legally in business, they've got to have a certain amount of cash reserve. So they said, woo, this is getting terrible. We'll loan you the money so you can say you have the cash. But if you have the if you borrow the cash, you now have created another debt, right? Yes. The Fed issued a statement that it will make up to $24 billion available to the European Central Bank. The Swiss National Bank increased the supply of dollars in Europe. The Federal Bank will also add as much as another $40 billion via auctions, increased cash in the U.S. banking system. Bernanke is trying to loosen the knot that has tightened LIBOR, which is most of the adjustable rate mortgages are figured on, which is London Interbank Offered Rate in England, and reduce lending between banks. The slowdown is hobbling growth and could send the world into a recessionary spiral. Bernanke's master plan is little more than a cash giveaway to sinking banks. It has a scant chance of succeeding. The Fed is offering $85 on the dollar for mortgage-backed securities and collateralized debt obligations that sold last week at the E-Trade liquidation for $27.27 on the dollar. At the same time, the Fed has promised to keep the identities of the banks that are borrowing these emergency funds secret from the public. Unfortunately, it says here, the Fed is conducting its business like a bookie, like an illegal bookie. Now, if we tried that, we'd be arrested and thrown in the jail, in the slammer. Look what happened to the CEOs and the financial officers of these great corporations in the last few years, that they were doing the same thing with their stock and with their funds internally within the company. And what happened? They brought them to trial, and some of them are already in jail. What are you going to do with Bernanke? You going to arrest him? Unfortunately, the Fed bailout has achieved nothing. LIBOR rates, which are presently at a seven-year high, have not come down at all. This is causing growing concern among the leaders of the central banks around the world, but there is really nothing they can do about it. The banks are hoarding cash to meet their capital requirements, which means we're not lending money. And in a system based upon debt and credit, you've got to borrow money or you can't function. They are trying to compensate for the lost value to their mortgage-backed assets by increasing their reserves. So when you read that Citibank made a write-down of $6 billion, they're saying, we're admitting we've lost $6 billion. Where did the $6 billion go? Now, if you've got a lot of money sitting in the bank, you better have some second thoughts. At the same time, the system is clogged with trillions of dollars of bad paper, which has brought lending to a halt. How about all the credit cards? They're behind on those. See? How many have seen some of these domino ads that are you see on television? It starts out with one domino. And then it goes into a kaleidoscope of all of them collapsing, hundreds of them, and in some cases they've had grand schemes where it knocks down thousands and thousands of dominoes just by the effect of one. So this is what we are seeing taking place here. And it says, staring into the abyss. The government has suspended a set of key banking regulations at the heart of the current financial crisis or risk, seeing the economy spiral towards a future that could make 1929 look like a walk in the park. Just a couple more things here. Spencer confirms what we already know. The banks are seriously undercapitalized. That means they have not enough money to sustain their operations, and will come under growing pressure as hundreds of billions of dollars of mortgage-backed securities and collateralized debt obligations continue to lose value and have to be propped up with additional capital. The banks simply don't have the reserves, and there's going to be a day of reckoning. What we are witnessing is essentially the breakdown of our modern banking system. Now, let's take this $10,000 loan that I gave to Harry, which I sold to Brian for $8,000, and now Brian has need of money. And so he goes to someone else and he says, now, I've got this $10,000 note, and I bought it for $8,000, but I'll sell it to you for $6,000, so you can make 40% on your purchase, see? So he buys it. But then all of a sudden, the third party has a financial crisis, and he has this $10,000 note that he bought for $6,000, and he goes to someone else and he says, I've got this $10,000 note that I bought for $6,000, and I'll sell it to you for $4,000. And just think, you'll make 60% on your money. So then he buys it for $4,000. Then the fourth party has a problem financially, and he needs some money. So he goes to someone and says, I've got this $10,000 note that I bought for $4,000. I'll sell it to you for $2,000. And you'll make 80% on your money. So, the loan comes due, he goes to Harry, and Harry got in financial trouble and declared bankruptcy.
I hope you're not a prophet.
No, Harry, I'm not a prophet. No. Okay. But that's, in a simple explanation, what is happening to the banking system. So the Fed is trying to say, oh, we will rescue this by giving you cash. We know it's only worth 27 cents on the dollar, but we will give you 85 cents. And don't tell anyone where you got the money. See? Because they created it out of thin air. So that's where we are. Now, what should you do to protect your assets? You have to decide what you have to do, but it would be wise if you had some cash, if you had some gold, if you had some silver, or if you have a 401k, convert that to a gold security-backed instrument, which is, in other words, you are buying gold such as at from a gold mine where they give you a certificate which says and guarantees that you have so much gold. Now, that's not as good as holding it directly, but with a 401k, you can't convert it to actual gold in your hands. Other than that, do the best you can to get out of debt. Don't take on any more debt. And do what you can that you need to do. Now, let's come to Proverbs 29 and verse 12. 27 and verse 12, beg your pardon. Here's what we need to be doing. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. So we need to be prudent. We need to be prudent. This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442.